Good evening. We appreciate your presence tonight. We welcome you back. Those of you who may be visiting tonight, we definitely welcome you back and to our services here at O'Neill. Many times in life, we try to find answers to our questions. We search in many places for truth, for peace, for happiness, but often sometimes we never find it. When we see here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, "Look no more." He's saying, "I have what you need." He's saying, "I'm that one-stop shop that you need. For those who are young, for those who are old, for those who are, just for you, for me, for the entire world. Come unto me. Come to me, all you that labor and that are heavy laden. And what will I give you?" He says, "I will give you rest." We know from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, that the way of the transgressor is hard. We know that the way of the transgressor is hard. Those that are not living like they need to, those who are living and following after maybe their self, maybe following after others, it's hard for them to have rest because they're not following after the one who gives rest. Jesus says, "You come to me and I'll give you rest." That's that invitation that Jesus has given to us. And He says, "You know, you come to me and I'm going to give you that rest. You take my yoke. You accept my teaching. You learn of me," He says. Well, think about how do we learn about Jesus? We know that we must learn about Him. But how do we learn about Him? And when we look at the Scriptures, we know that we can't learn of Jesus from feelings. We can't learn of Jesus from the doctrines and commandments of men. We can't learn of Jesus through ideas and imaginations that men put out. We must search the Scriptures. We must search the Scriptures. In John chapter 5, verse 39, He says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." What did He say? He says, "You search those Scriptures." What are you going to find in those Scriptures? You're going to find the things that lead to eternal life. Who is it that gives eternal life? It's Jesus Christ. When we look in John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ." We're going to learn of Him, then we need to study those Scriptures. And when we learn of Him and we look at those Scriptures, we're going to come to the conclusion that He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And that believing, we have life through His name. We're going to search those Scriptures. We're going to come to that truth that Jesus is, that He is the Christ. Thinking about this too in John chapter 21, verses 25, when it says, "And there are many other things which Jesus did, the which," listen to what this says, "in which that they should be written every one." And I suppose that He says that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Everything that Jesus did, if you were to put it in books, there's not enough books in the world to hold everything that He did. In 2010, 6 years ago, there were an estimated 130 million books in the world. Think about that. All the things that Jesus did could not be contained in all the books. Think about this, that we have the one book. We have the book. We have the one that we can search. We have the one that has the words in it to eternal life. I use this Scripture a whole lot, and probably I've used it probably in almost every sermon that I've probably preached. If not, there's very few that I haven't used it. But 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We have to study this word. We have to study the book. We have to study it so we can rightly divide truth. We can rightly divide those Scriptures and find out what is truth. We have to rightly divide those Scriptures so we can learn about Jesus Christ. Well, when I look there and I look here in this book and as I'm studying, as I'm reading it, what we learn about Jesus, but who is he? We know from John 3:16 that Kelly quoted that verse tonight in our kids' class. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who is Jesus? He's the only begotten Son of God. He is the only one that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's spokesman. When we see from John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, we can look there and Jesus says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me." That's who I'm speaking for. I'm not speaking of myself, Jesus says. I'm speaking for the one who sent me. What did he say? He gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. He told me what I should say. He told me what I should speak. And listen to what Jesus said. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, I have to say what God told me to say. He was that spokesperson for God. When I read and I study, who is Jesus? He is the Lamb of God. Remember how John said, when he sees him, he says, and looking to Jesus, he sees Jesus coming, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Who is Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. What does he do? He takes away the sin of the world. Two disciples, they must have been listening, paying attention. They must have believed what he said, because when we see in verse 36, what did they say when they see him coming? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." They saw Jesus. They saw him as the Lamb of God. When I read and when I study, that's who I see Jesus as. I see him as the Lamb of God. Who is he? We can look from 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, and he says, "And we have seen and we do testify that the Father sent to the Son of God, that he sent the Son to be who, to be what? He sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Not only is he the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world, he is the Savior. He is our Savior. Not only is he our Savior, but he's also our judge. We can see from John chapter 5, verse 22, "For the Father judges no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto" who? He committed all judgment to the Son. Who is he? We can see there in Acts chapter 17, 30 through 31, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but he commanded all men everywhere to" do what? He commands us to repent, because he's appointed unto a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. By who? By the man he ordained. By who? The one that he gives assurance unto all men. By who? And that he raised him from the dead. Who did he raise from the dead? We know he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Who is he? Who's this person I need to be learning about? It's about Jesus Christ. I need to learn that he is. That he is I am. I need to learn that he is deity. All of these different things that Jesus says that he is. He says that I am. I am the bread of life. Jesus said that in John chapter 6, verse 35. And he said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger." You see, who is Jesus? "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of him. What does he say? He says, "I'm the bread of life. You have me, you're never going to hunger." He says that "I am the light of the world." He says, "I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus says that "I am the door of the sheep." In John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves, they were robbers." He says, "The sheep did not hear them," but he says, "I'm the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved." Jesus here showing his deity. I am the one that saves. I am the door of the sheep. Not only is he the door of the sheep, he also says, "I am the good shepherd." We see that in John chapter 10, verses 11, and also in 14, when he talks about being the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is going to do what? He's going to give his life for his sheep. "I'm going to give my life for my sheep." He goes on there in verse 14 talking about, "I'm going to know my sheep, and my sheep are going to know me." So not only is Jesus the bread of life, he's not only the light of the world, the door of the sheep, but he's that good shepherd. He's the one who's watching over us. He knows each and every one of us. He knows the struggles that each and every one of us are going through. But he also says something else. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11, verse 25, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, because he is the resurrection, and he is the life. He also says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, you want to get to the Father? You come through me. You know, Brother Guy mentioned this morning, they said, you know, come and see. Come and see. Jesus said, you come unto me. You come unto me. You come to me, and I'm going to show you the things that I can do for you. Jesus also said, he is the vine. He says, I am the vine in John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In verse 5, he says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He says, you abide in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm the vine, you're coming out from me, you're the branches. If you're going to bear fruit, you have to be in me. Because if you are in Jesus Christ, you can't help but to bear fruit. What did he say? He talked about being, saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Taking my yoke upon me. Well, what is this rest that he keeps talking about? You're going to find rest under your souls. He said, if we came to him, we're going to rest. All of the broken pieces that you and I have, all the broken pieces that whatever it is in our life that has caused us at some point to be brokenhearted, he is the one that can mend that broken heart. He is the one that's going to make you whole again. He says, take my yoke upon you. What is he saying? You accept my teachings. When you accept my teaching, you're going to learn of me. You're going to learn how I am. You're going to see that I'm someone who is meek, someone who is lowly in heart. You're going to see that I'm humble. You see, Jesus, what did he do? He came down from the heaven. He came down from where he's from the Father. He came here on this earth to experience all of life's disappointments that you and I experience. He was meek. He was lowly in heart. He encourages us to take on him those teachings, to learn about Jesus, and that yoke is easy. It's not like what the Pharisees wanted. The Pharisees put burden after burden after burden on people. But Jesus is telling them, that's not what I'm going to do. The teachings that I give you are teachings that are going to be easy to bear. Teachings like repentance. Teachings like faith. Teachings of forgiveness. Teachings of loving your neighbor as yourself. When we look at 1 John chapter 5, when we start thinking about the yoke is easy and Jesus' burden being light, we can see from 1 John chapter 5, when Jesus says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and when we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome." The things that he wants us to do, they're only burdensome if we make them burdensome. He says, my yoke is easy. And we know what he says is faithful and true. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. A lot of times, myself included in my life, I've taken on things and maybe there's some different difficulties going on in your life. And what did I try to do? I tried to fix it. I tried to take care of it. Well, let me do it this way. Let me do it that way. When all I needed to do was go to the one who could take care of it all. I could go to him and he could take care of those things because I'm putting my faith and confidence in him that he knows what's best for me. Now, is that easy? That part's not easy. But Jesus says, my yoke, my teachings are easy. My burden is light. This reminds me sometimes in our Wednesday night class as well when we see the Roman brethren as they're struggling, being a Christian and they're having a hard time. Do we need to keep the law? Do we need to follow grace? And there's that struggle that they're having in their life. And they know you need to obey righteousness. You need to obey. You forget about that law. It's in the past. Let's move on to Jesus Christ. Let's learn of Him. What has He done? What has Jesus done? I can tell you what He's done. He came to do the Father's will. In John 6, verse 39, He says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." What did Jesus do? In Luke 19, verse 10, He came to seek and save that which was lost. That's what He's done. What else did He do? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, He says, "Think that I'm not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy." He said, "I come to fulfill." He came to fulfill the law. What has He done? He tasted death for every man. Everyone in this building, everyone in Athens, Alabama, everyone in the United States, everyone in the world, He came. He tasted death for every single person. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What a beautiful picture. When we are looking, trying to learn of Jesus, what He did for every one of us. We see that He built His church. That's what He's already done. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will do what?" He said, "I will build my church." That's what He's done. What has He done? He said, "I finished the work that God gave Him to do. I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work that Thou gavest me to do." So we know what He's done. Now what's He doing right now? What's Jesus doing right now? He is reigning over His kingdom. We see in Ephesians chapter 1. We see in Ephesians chapter 1 there in 19, starting in verse Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power?" He says, "For which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, then set Him on the right at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. He's put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." What's He doing? He's reigning over His church. He is the King. What else is He doing right now for us? We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is He that condemns? Is it Christ that died? Yeah, rather, is it the one that's been risen again? Who is at the right hand of God? What's He doing? He's making intercession for us. That's what He's doing right now. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for me. Because what do we deserve? We deserve death. For the sins that we commit, sometimes the daily sins that we commit, we deserve death. But Jesus is there interceding for us. "My little children," He says, "these things I write unto you that you sin not." If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our advocate. He is the one that is there pleading on our behalf. Well, what's He going to do now? You know, we know what he's done. We know what He's doing right now. What about to come? What in the future? What's He going to do? He's going to return. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? He said, You believe also in me, He said. My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and I prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How beautiful that is. Don't be troubled. What is He saying? Take my yoke. Learn of me. Don't be troubled. I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to return and I'm going to take you back with me to my Father, to our Father. What is He saying? What's He going to do? He's going to judge the world. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of" who? of Christ. We're going to appear before Him. The things that we've done, whether it's good or whether it's bad, He's going to judge us according to what we've done here on this earth. What else is He going to do? For those that don't know God, for those that have not obeyed the gospel, He's going to take vengeance on them. But listen to what else He's going to do. He's going to reward those who are His. We see that Paul, talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and he says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." A crown of righteousness. Won't that be nice? The reward of being faithful and dying in Christ. "The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but all those that love His appearing." That's what He's going to do for us. But what does He want us to do? He wants us to do the Father's will. We know from Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." But who is going to enter the kingdom of heaven? "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He wants you, and He wants me to do His Father's will. What did He say? We just talked about just a few minutes ago. When He came, He spake only as what God told Him to speak. And now what are we to do? We're to do the will of the Father. How do we know about the will of the Father? We have to learn about Jesus. And to learn about Jesus, what do we have to do? We have to search the Scriptures. We have to study the Scriptures. We have to divide out the truth that has been laid out for us. Because what does He say? "If you love me, keep my commandments." How can we keep the commandments if we don't know them? What does He say? He wants you to believe. He wants you to go into the world. He wants us to preach the gospel. He wants others to believe on the Son that He sent. What does He want us to do? He wants us to repent. He doesn't want any of us to perish. What does He want us to do? He wants us to confess His name. He wants us to confess that beautiful name of Jesus Christ and confess it before men. So He, whenever He gets to heaven, He is confessing our name before God, our Father. He wants us to be born again. He wants us to be baptized. He wants us to wash away the sinful life. He wants us to live for Him. And He wants us to be faithful all the days of our life. He wants us to be faithful until we breathe our last breath. To know Jesus is to know who He is. To know Jesus is to know what He's done. To know Jesus is to know what He's doing right now. To know Jesus is to know what He's going to do next for us. To know Jesus is to know what He wants us to do. Do you know Jesus? That's the question tonight. What did He say? He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In one of the old hymn books, there was a song, "Come unto me." Listen to the words of the song. "O heart bowed down with sorrow, O eyes that long for sight, there's gladness in believing, in Jesus there is light. Divinest consolation doth Christ the Healer give, art thou in condemnation, believe, repent, and live. His peace is like a river, His love is like a song, His yoke's a burden, never, 'tis easy all day long. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Tonight, are you needing rest for your soul? Have you committed sin that you need to publicly to come forward and to confess those sins publicly? Are you a Christian? If not, right now is the time to become one as we hear the sweet voice of Jesus calling.